What can make me whole again? Precious blood of Jesus Christ. Grateful for that today. Well, it's good to see you again on this Sunday morning. Thank you for taking the time to spend with us a little bit. I want to share with you a message today from the book of Hebrews. I have come to the end of the summer. I've been preaching some messages. I have preached through the years, and I've enjoyed doing that, but it's time to bring that to an end. And if I'm being perfectly honest with you this morning, the message that I preached today, it's not one of my favorite messages. I don't like to preach it. There's no joy in what I'm going to preach to you today. Now, please understand, there are some times I come to this pulpit and I'm excited about the message that I'm going to preach, and when the message is over, you feel good about it, and it was inspiring, encouraging. That's not this message. This one's tough. But yet it's true, and it must be preached. I was thinking some time ago that we live in a day of appointments. I don't know about your schedule, but it seems like I have a lot of appointments. And the older you get, you young folks won't get this today, but the older you get, the more you'll understand this. You have to have one calendar that kind of keeps track of your social life, if you will. And then you have to have another calendar that keeps track of all your doctor's appointments. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so if you're going to see a doctor, you got to have all these appointments. And I'm going to tell you, the older you get, the harder it is to keep them all straight, who you're seeing, where you're going, all that sort of thing. So if you're going to see a doctor, you've got to have an appointment. We live in a day of appointments. You're going to get your hair cut, you probably need an appointment. Now, I know there are places walk-ins are welcome, but a lot of places you got to have an appointment. If you're going to see the preacher, yeah, you need an appointment. We live in a day of appointments. And it brings me to the passage of Scripture in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. And I want to read one verse of Scripture today. And I'm preaching to you on this subject today, the Bible's most solemn verse. That's why I say to you, there's no joy in this. As a matter of fact, I would say that any pastor who enjoys preaching this, there's probably something psychologically wrong. Hebrews chapter 9, I'm in verse 27. I'm going to ask you to join me in standing as I read my text today. It's only one verse of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and it reads like this. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. I told you it was tough. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So that's the word appointment. As a matter of fact, in your Bible, in the Greek New Testament, this is the only time that word appointment is found in your Bible. It is actually a word that means to be laid away or to be laid in store. There is an appointment that has been set aside. Listen to me today. There is an appointment that you will not miss. There's an appointment I'm going to talk about today that you will not be early for, you will not be late for. I promise you, you will be right on time. But you will not miss it. It's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. Three appointments I want to talk about this morning. And they're solemn. You have an appointment with death. You have an appointment with a declaration. And you have an appointment with destiny. I want to talk about all three of those in the time that I have left this morning. So would you pray with me and open your heart? Ask God to speak to your heart today. This is not an easy message, but I believe there are some folks here today who need to hear this message. If it were not true, then God would not have placed this on my heart today. Father, today, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for all of you the book. There are places like this that are somber to us that get our attention. God, we live in a world today when you need to get our attention. And Father, I pray you'd perk up our ears today that we might hear what you have to say. And so, Lord, I pray that as I share your word today, that your Holy Spirit will move throughout this building and even into those who are watching online or listening on radio. And God, I pray that you're going to speak truth today. And if there are commitments that need to be made, I pray that we'll be willing to do it. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. I shared my outline with you today, so let me just kind of jump in because I have a whole lot to say. And I want to say about these three appointments, I want to take them one at a time today. I want to say to you, first of all, you have an appointment with death. Now, how's that for a Sunday morning? And as it is appointed unto men once to die. I said this last Wednesday night, kind of at the close of the message. I was talking to, I don't remember where I was, but anyway, I mentioned this. I've come to a verse of scripture today that every person believes. You may not like it, but you believe it, you understand it, you cannot deny it. Now, you may be in the room today and you may not believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You may not believe that the Bible says to bring you all the tithe into the storehouse. You may not believe that Moses used his rod and parted the Red Sea and God's people walked across on dry land. You may not believe that Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of God who lived a perfect life, who died on a cruel cross for your sin and mine. And 3 days later, as we sang about, he resurrected from the dead. You may not believe that, but you do believe that everybody's going to die. I mean, experience has shown you that. You know that to be true. And one of the reasons why what I'm preaching about today, there's no joy in it, because this is fresh to some people in the room today. This is fresh to some people who are watching online today. This is not just something that we read about in the Bible, but this is a reality that everybody in the room knows someone, a family member, a friend, somebody who has died. It is appointed unto men once to die. Think about it for just a moment. I mean, we're just talking about all of us have an appointment with death. Every newspaper that I know anything about has an obituary column. When I first moved from Oklahoma to Florida, I would get online, and I still do. I read the Daily Oklahoman online every day. But when I first moved here, I would go to the obituary column. I know I'm a morbid person, right? I would go to the obituary column, and I would read who had died. And I had to quit doing it because sometimes I'd get disappointed if I didn't read anybody's name that I knew. And I thought, that's bad. But yet every newspaper has an obituary column. Every town, or maybe a cluster of towns, has a funeral home. I lived in an area at one time in Oklahoma where we had about 5 or 6 small towns. When I say small towns, I mean less than 1,000 people in all these little towns. And there was a funeral home in the town that I lived in, and that one funeral home pretty much serviced that entire area. And the man who ran the funeral home was a member of my church, and oftentimes he would call me and he had asked me sometimes if I would go and pick up a body for him because he had something else to do. And I come to realize that funeral homes are everywhere. This man, by the way, had a morbid sense of humor, as you might expect, but he would send me a birthday card every year, and he would always sign it, "Eventually yours." That's about as funny as it's going to get today. I'm simply saying to you, the Bible's true, is it not, when it says, as it is appointed unto men once to die. There are cemeteries everywhere. If you go out in the country somewhere, and I'm talking about out in the country. I'm talking about a dirt road. I'm talking about somewhere that's far from any place. You might find nothing but a church house. But oftentimes, right next door or right behind, what do you have? A cemetery. Why? Because it's appointed unto men once to die. There are sometimes during a week's time that we will have several funerals here at our church. And whenever you think about it, in spite of all that modern medicine has been able to do, in spite of all the advancements that we have come, that people still die. The Bible is true, my friend. It is appointed unto men once to die. I know you'd like to move on, like for me to move on, but I'm not ready to move on just yet. Because whenever you read the Bible says that men have an appointment with death. Job said this, "For I know that thou wilt bring me to death, and to the house appointed for all living." That's Job chapter 30, verse 23. Solomon said this, "There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death." Ecclesiastes chapter 8, nobody has enough strength in order that he might not die. You don't have that kind of strength. Give you another one. Paul said, that's Ecclesiastes 8:8. Paul said, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." That's Romans chapter 5, verse 12. The oldest man to ever live, the oldest man to ever live was a man by the name of Methuselah. I mentioned him last Wednesday night. Methuselah, the Bible says, Genesis 5:27, "And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. He lived 969 years. You know what the next phrase says? And he died. You live 969 years, you're still going to die. The psalmist said, "The days of our years are 70. That's Psalm chapter 90, verse 10. 70, you know what that is? 70 years. I don't want to talk about that. No wonder he said in verse 12 of that same 90th Psalm, "So teach us to number our days." I got thinking about this the other day, not other day, just a few minutes ago. I thought, what if everywhere you went, everybody on their forehead had a countdown number? Teach us to number our days. It'd probably spur evangelism, wouldn't it? Because you saw some old boy and he has a 2 up there. Oh, he's got 2 days left. I better talk to him about Jesus. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die. I know you'd like to move on, but I'm not ready to move on. I'm saying to you today that death comes to the poor man's cottage, and death also comes to the rich man's palace. Death comes to those who are young, and death comes to those who are old. I've had funeral services for those who are infants who have died at birth. I've had funeral services for little boys who played baseball, and I've seen a casket with a little boy in his baseball uniform for a funeral service. I've done funeral services for teenagers. I've done funeral services for all ages of adults. I'm telling you, death comes to everyone. By the way, I did the funeral service for a 104-year-old Southern Baptist preacher. I say all that to say this. Every one of us in this room have an appointment that we're not going to miss. Not going to be early, not going to be late. You're going to be right on time. The Bible says we all have an appointment with death. And you say, "Pastor, I know that, but I don't like to think about that, and I wish you'd move on." As long as people die, we better talk about it. And not only that, we better get ready for it. That's what this is all about. That's why that verse is in your Bible. So the first appointment you have an appointment with death. Secondly, notice this. The Bible says you also have an appointment with declaration. For the scripture says it's appointed unto men once to die. It doesn't end there. But after this, the judgment. Here's something our modern world needs to know. Death does not end at all. There is a life on the other side. And the Bible says after death comes judgment. I'm living in a day, I'm preaching a message today that we don't hear much about in our modern world. You don't hear much talk about death, and you sure don't hear much talk about judgment. But the Bible says that after death comes judgment. There is a verse of scripture tucked away over in the book of Psalms that when I used to do a lot of revivals, but I would preach on this verse of scripture. And it's found in Psalm chapter 9, verse 16. It's a little known psalm, but in Psalm 9, 16, the Bible says this: the Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. Did you hear that? The Lord is known by the judgment that he executed. There's a very popular song out today sung by a guy that I really like. And the song talks about our God is known by mercy. Our God is known by love. Our God is known by grace. And I get all that, but I'm going to tell you this. I hope you're listening to me today. You will not find one verse of scripture in your Bible that says God is known by mercy. You'll not find one that says God is known by grace. You'll not find one that says God is known by love. But you will find one that says God is known by the judgment that he executeth. Does that mean he's not merciful, he's not gracious, he's not loving? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It simply means that whenever you read the scripture, the Bible says he's a God of judgment. Young people, listen to this. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9, again, the wisest man in all the world, Solomon, wrote this. He said, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. That is, you know, listen, young man, rejoice that you're a young man, and do the things that you want to do. Follow the desires of your heart, the sight of your eyes. Then it closes by saying this, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. There's a lot of confusion about judgment. And by the way, I've chosen my wording very carefully. I said to you that you have an appointment with a declaration. And the reason why I use declaration is because I don't like to use the word determine or determination. Because there's some folks today who believe that at the end of life, when you've died and you go to the judgment, when you stand before the judgment bar of God, that's where it will be determined where you're going to spend eternity. That's not biblical. Judgment does not determine where you spend eternity. Judgment simply declares where you're going to spend eternity. I hope you're listening to me right now, because I'm saying this to you today. Where you spend eternity is determined right here, right now, by what you do with Jesus Christ. And then on the day of judgment, it will be declared where you're going to spend eternity. There is no such thing in your Bible as some kind of a general judgment, a universal judgment. There's nothing in the Bible that indicates that all the people who've ever lived from all of the time of history, that will all stand before God. And God has kind of this big scale up there, right? And he put all the good things on one side of the scale and all the bad things on one side of the scale. And if your good things outweigh your bad things, then hocus pocus, you get to go to heaven. But if your bad things outweigh your good things, then sorry, you have to go to hell. That's not in your Bible. The Bible says where you spend eternity is determined by what you do with Jesus, by whether you say yes to him or you say no to him, whether you receive him, whether you reject him. And whenever death comes, it's too late to change any of that. Just real quickly, let me share two things about that. When I talk about you have an appointment with a declaration and the judgment. First of all, the Bible says that the saved, the born again, those who receive Jesus will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and he said, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now, you say, "Pastor, the Bible says we all stand before the judgment seat." But understand, Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. He was writing to believers, and he was saying to believers that we will all, if you're a believer today, we will all stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And it's a judgment of our works. It is not a judgment that determines where you spend eternity. It is a judgment that will decide the rewards that you will receive. I don't have the time to do this morning, but I want you to write this down. I had it on the screen for you, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, there Paul describes that judgment scene, and he talks about how your works will be placed upon a fire, and some of your works will endure the test, some of them perhaps will not endure the test. And the Bible says if you did your works kind of for yourself and your own glory, they'll be burned up. But if you did them for God and for God's glory, then they will stand the test. And the Bible says that if your works stand the test, then you'll be given rewards, and those rewards are sometimes referred to as crowns. And so the Bible says you'll receive a reward, you'll receive a crown because of the faithful life that you live. And there's always somebody, real humble person, who said, "Well, you know, I don't want any rewards. I don't want any crowns." Yeah, you do. Because the book of the Revelation says, I believe it's in chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible says, then you're going to take those crowns and you're going to lay them at the feet of Jesus Christ. You want to do that. So the Bible says every child of God will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Secondly, the Bible also says that every lost person, every person who has refused Jesus as their Savior, the Bible says they will stand at the great white throne judgment. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15 talk about that. Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. And that's a picture of all who have refuse Christ as their Savior. They're all at the great white throne judgment. That's an interesting term, isn't it? Great white throne judgment. Why is it called great? It's called great because of Jesus and his almighty power, and he will be on his throne. It is white, speaking of his purity, the absolute holiness of Jesus Christ. And so all unbelievers, listen, every person who rejects Jesus Christ as Savior will stand at this judgment. Every rebellious person, everybody that hated God and hated the Bible and hated the church and hated Bible-believing Christians, everybody who rejected Jesus Christ, they will all stand at that place. The Bible talks about that. Everyone will be there. By the way, also, every self-righteous person will be there too. Everybody who tried to do the best they could will be there. Now, they're going to be there because they rejected Jesus Christ. Now, the good old boys and the good old girl, they will be there because they rejected Jesus Christ. Let me tell you who else will be there. The procrastinators will be there. Those who sat in churches like this and said, someday I'm going to give my heart to Jesus Christ. But you know what? Someday never came. In a former church I pastored one Sunday, you know, churches are always having these special emphasis days. We had a day, we called it Someday Sunday. Someday Sunday. And I encouraged everybody in the building, Whatever you plan to do for God someday, do it today. Because there's too many people that someday never, and I'm going to tell you, hell today is half full of people who said, I'm going to give my life to Christ someday. But they never did. I'm not done. Lost church members will be there too. People who came to a building like this, sat in a chair like you're sitting in, some of them came every Sunday. They lived a life, they played a game. But they never really gave their heart to Jesus Christ. Jesus wasn't the essence of their life. He was just another little addition on their life like all the other things that they do. But he was not their Lord. He was not their Savior. They never got serious about giving their heart to Jesus Christ. They had their name on a church roll, but they did not have their name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. So how do you know that? Because Jesus said, on that day he said, many are going to say to me, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do many wonderful works in your name? What's that sound like to you? It sounded like a church member to me. Did a lot of good things in your name. And Jesus said, then will I look at them and I'll say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. That's a pretty solemn verse as well, is it not? To think that you could live your whole life thinking that you're saved and find out that you're lost. And the Bible says every person, no matter what their background might have been, if they never said yes to Jesus Christ, they will all stand at the great white throne judgment. Let me say one third thing, third appointment. I must say this one very quick. You also have not only an appointment with death and not only an appointment with a declaration, you also have an appointment with destiny. Every one of us will spend eternity in one of two places. Either in an awful place that the Bible calls hell, or in a wonderful place that the Bible calls heaven. How do I know that? Because Matthew says, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus was talking about, he said that there are two roads to travel down. He said there are two gates that you go through. He said there are two places that you go to. Jesus said there's a broad road. Remember this? Matthew 7, 13 and 14. He said there's a broad road. He said there's a narrow road. He said there's a broad gate. He said there's a narrow gate. He said there's a place called heaven and there's a place called hell. And so the Bible says there are two places where people will spend eternity. Everybody's going to spend eternity somewhere. And may I say this to you today? Eternity is a long, long time. You remember a baseball player named Joe DiMaggio? When Joe DiMaggio died, I preached a sermon from this pulpit that I called, Where Have You Gone, Joe DiMaggio? I only had two points. Point number one was, he's gone to one of two places, either heaven or hell. And point number two was, wherever he is, he's going to be there forever. The Bible says those who reject Christ will spend eternity in an awful place called hell. And again, we live in a world that doesn't like to talk about that, but I want to say to you today, human logic, put your Bible aside for just a moment. Human logic declares that there must be a place called hell. There must be a place for those who are evildoers. Even in the modern world that we live, people who are not willing to obey the laws, we have places for them. We call them prisons. So we put them in place. And so the Bible says to us here that those who reject Christ, that they're going to have their own place, and it's going to be an awful place called hell. And every Christ rejecter will be there. Can you imagine spending an eternity with people like Nimrod or Nebuchadnezzar or Pharaoh or Herod? Can you imagine spending eternity in a place with a man named Stalin or a man named Lenin or somebody named Hitler? All those people in the world who did not know God. And by the way, the names could go on, and they're names that you and I don't know. Some of them are names that we do know. Jesus said, the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Peter said, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them into hell." John said, "And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire." Friend, I'd be a sorry preacher if I didn't warn you about hell. The place of separation, suffering, solitude. It's a place of hopelessness. Listen to me today. Nobody will ever come up to you in hell, tap you on the shoulder and say, "Hang in there, buddy, it's going to get better." It's not happening. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, the Bible says. But my dear friend, if you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, that will be your eternity. Boy, I hope that's not true of anybody in this building today. Let me move on to better news. That is, the saved will spend eternity in heaven. I like to end on a good note, all right? So wake your neighbor up and say, "He's past all the bad stuff. He's at the good stuff now, so gonna spend eternity in heaven." The Bible says there is a place called heaven. Aren't you glad about that? Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." The Apostle Paul said that whenever Jesus comes again, that the Lord himself shall descend from where? From heaven. John said in the Revelation, he said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth." John was writing all about it in the Revelation. He talked about how there were walls that were made out of jasper. There were gates that are made out of pearl. There were streets that are paved with gold. Listen, I'd be a pretty sorry preacher if I didn't tell you about a wonderful place called heaven. Just real quick, it's a place of no more sickness. Boy, there should have been shouts of hallelujah right there. Listen, it's a place of no more sickness, no more cancer, no more heart disease, no more COVID. Should have been a big amen right there. No more sorrow, no more tears. Listen to that, no more tears, no more broken hearts. No more separation. Why is all that true? Because heaven is the place of Jesus. It's the place of our Savior. Old song said, "Heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. And I want to see my Savior's face." Heaven is a wonderful place. I've said this many times, and I never have really figured out the answer, I guess. Why go to hell when it's so easy to go to heaven? Just understanding who you are, giving your heart to Christ. So I've said today, you have three appointments: death, a declaration, and destiny. You won't be early. You won't be late. You'll be right on time. You'll not miss it. And the reason why some of you are here today is because Jesus has an appointment with you. He brought you here this day to hear this message, so that you could give your heart to Jesus Christ. You say, "Pastor, what do I have to do?" The Bible says you first of all need to realize that you're a sinner. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number two, you need to recognize that Jesus Christ is God's Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he died on the cross for your sin, and he rose again from the dead just for you. Number three, you need to repent of your sin. The Bible says, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Then it said it again, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And you receive Jesus as your Savior. John said, "As many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." It's so easy to give your heart to Christ and know that you have a home in heaven. Why in the world would you not do that, knowing You have an appointment with death, and you're going to spend a place in one of these judgment places. You're either going to go to the judgment seat of Christ, or you're going to go to the great white throne judgment. Why would you not want to give your heart to Jesus Christ? The best thing, the most logical thing, the most sensible thing I ever did, I did when I was a 7-year-old boy, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Now, you may not be 7, you may be 17, you may be 70, but you need to give your heart to Jesus today. And in just a moment, we're going to stand, and we're going to sing our final song. There's going to be a pastor standing at every one of these aisles. I'm asking you today, if you say, "Pastor, I've never given my life to Christ, I want to do it today," come take one of these pastors by the hand and just say to him, "Today, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I'm here today because God had an appointment with me, and I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ." Father, today, thank you for your presence in this room. Thank you for your sweet Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that a long time ago you sent your Son to die on a cruel cross for our sin. And we're so grateful that he rose up from the dead. And God, right now I pray that as you speak to hearts all across this room, that people will say yes to what you're asking us to do. God, if we don't say yes to you today, we have missed our reason for even being here. So help us to say yes to Jesus, who said yes to the cross. So, Lord, right now, draw people to yourself. Do what only you can do. And we're going to give you thanks for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, before we stand, when we begin this invitation song, I'm going to ask you, if you know what God wants you to do, whenever you stand, I'm going to ask you to come. Why? Because the longer you wait, the harder it gets. If you say today, "Pastor, I know that I need to give my heart to Jesus Christ," whenever we stand, I'm going to ask you to come. If you'd say, "Pastor, I saw all these folks get baptized. I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. I need to get baptized." Whenever we stand, come. Say, "I want to get baptized." Some of you looking for a church home today. God's been speaking to you about becoming a part of this fellowship. Whenever we stand, I'm going to ask you to come. You've got something on your heart you need to pray about. Whenever we stand, come to this altar and pray. The longer you wait, the harder it is. So I'm asking today that whenever we stand, you come. These men of God are standing here ready to receive you. So right now, would you stand while we sing? While we sing, you come today and do what God wants you to do right now. Are you